Do you know any preposterous people? Charlie may be a close second to the most preposterous person I have ever known was Arthur S. DeMoss. He was a fantastic salesman, Charlie. Matter of fact, that's my next point here. As an insurance salesman, he found that selling insurance policies, life insurance policies, one at a time was very inefficient, too slow. So he did something preposterous. He sold life insurance through direct mail and newspaper advertising. He and his wife started the business on their kitchen table, as he said. You're not supposed to be able to do that, you know. You got to pay a big commission to an insurance guy to go out and do the whole thing. He figured out how to do it through direct mail and newspapers. The result was National Liberty Corporation. When I knew him, he died in 1979. When I knew him, it was a billion-dollar corporation. Preposterous. And Arthur DeMoss was preposterous in his approach to the Christian faith. Billy Graham was his friend and called Art the greatest personal witness for Christ that he knew. Incredibly bold with other men. Bold, you know, in the New Testament is a very good word. It means quiet confidence. It doesn't mean harsh or obnoxious. It means quiet confidence. Art devised a strategy to win people to the Lord right in the middle of the main line of Philadelphia. Do you know the main line of Philadelphia? How many of you have been there? It's just west of the city. If you want to know the culture, just take northwest Atlanta and move it 800 miles north. The only difference is the money is about 100 years older. So people are a little bit more demure and sedate about it, you know. Art and Nancy bought the biggest house on the highest hill in Bryn Mawr. They bought the estate called Laurier. And several times a year, sometimes every other month, they would host a dinner party for whomever would respond to their invitation, with the express purpose of introducing their neighbors on the main line to a friend. Some of their friends were, you remember Tom Landry, who died, but he was the coach of the Dallas Cowboys. One night they had Roy Rogers and Dale Evans there. These people would come and share their story of coming to know the Lord. Preposterous. Who needs the Lord in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania? Or Buckhead? And over the years, men, before his death, Art saw hundreds of mainline Philadelphians come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And now today, the Arthur S. DeMoss Foundation helps thousands of people all over the world come to faith in the Lord, all over the world. When he died, he left an estate of $1 billion. Men, our man of faith in Hebrews 11 today is preposterous. Open your scriptures with me to the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews, we'll pick the 7th verse today, Hebrews 11, 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Men, the book of Genesis tells us that when God scrutinized this world, And he scrutinized the human race in Noah's time. He found, and I'm quoting from the sixth chapter of Genesis now, every inclination of people's hearts was evil all the time. Now that's pretty bad, isn't it? Every inclination of people's hearts was evil all the time. But he found one man, Noah, a righteous man, Scripture tells us, blameless among the people of his time, who walked with God. Remember we discussed that last time with Enoch. You walk with God, that's your primary affection is with God, and it's your lifestyle. It's reflected in your lifestyle. And somehow, man, God warns him. He says here, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. Somehow or another, the Lord warned him that he has had it with this world, and he is going to put an end to it. It's totally absurd, but he tells Noah to build an ark 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. And he tells him to build it to save his family. And he says also to save all living things on the earth. And we all know the story. It's been made into a nice children's story and everything. The ark with all these giraffes, their heads hanging out the windows and the et cetera, et cetera. Okay? Men, fear is a great motivator, isn't it? Have you ever been really scared? Well, he's highly motivated, and in holy fear, he spent decades building the ark on dry land. He must have endured tremendous ridicule and contempt. But Noah never diverted his attention as the huge vessel rose up toward the sky, 450 feet long. I'm enough of a mechanic to try. I can't quite figure out how he did it. You know, how do you lay the keel down? And must have had to find a couple of big trees, put them together. I mean, okay? It's preposterous. You know, preposterous men of faith either condemn or they convert sinners. And in Noah's case here, it says by faith he condemned the world. In Noah's case, he condemned the security and the confidence of the people around him. He condemned their contempt and rebellion against God. Peter tells us, if you look at the end of the New Testament there in one of the Peter's epistles, he tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. What are you doing there, Noah? What are you doing? Well, I'll tell you what. The Lord has had it with this world and all of this evil, and the sexual immorality must have been unbelievable. It's always reflected in morality. He's had it, and I'm building an ark because he's going to send the flood and he's going to wipe it all out. Can you imagine the scorn? And men, in 100 years of preaching, his approval rating was zero. Nobody responded. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Not only were Noah and his family saved from the flood, and through them the entire human race was saved from extinction, but men, they became, the writer here tells us, by faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Men, he and his family were saved eternally. The same way we are today, saved eternally. How? By faith. Same way. It was in 1976 that I met Arthur DeMoss. I was at a neighbor's house with his business partner. And at the time, men, I was trying to raise $3 million in capital for a preposterous business idea. What it required to pull it off was the internet, but the only problem is we were 20 years early. Fools. Fools that we were. Okay. That night, Art DeMoss walked up to me. I wish you could have met him, really. He was about that high. Jet black eyes. Came up. Never knew me. I had never met the man before in my life. Came up and he said, my name, he stuck his hand out, my name is Arthur DeMoss. I'm having some people to my house for dinner Friday night. Would you and your wife like to come? Now, when you're trying to raise venture capital and one of the richest men in America invites you to dinner, I was there, let me tell you. And met he, what a salesman, he met Suzanne and me at the door. Hello, Chris and Suzanne. I said, oh my goodness gracious, what am I in for here? Men, it was 1 month later. I was at a couple's Bible study at his home, Laurier, in the carriage house, which they had turned into a place where you could come. And in that case, we were studying the Bible, my wife and I, and the Bible teacher Bill was explaining the story of Noah in the sixth chapter of Genesis. And the way I remember it, he said, when the Lord protected Noah and his family, the three sons were Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives by their faith. He protected them. He put a protection, a covering around them. He put the ark around them, and that was the contract or the protection. Apparently in legal language, they all mean the same thing. Contract, protection, covering. And he said, Bill said, the ark around Noah and his family is a good picture of the protection that God puts around us when we receive the new covenant. And what's the new covenant? When we put our faith in Jesus Christ. God covers our sins. He protects us by the blood of His Son, Jesus. I sat there, men, 36 years old. I had a little hair at that time. Going through the midlife crisis. And that night, men, in October of 1976, 25 years ago, the Lord overwhelmed me with His grace. That was the scripture that God used. Noah and his ministry was the scripture that Jesus used to save me. That night, I believed. I bowed my head quietly and received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. By grace, I was saved through faith. Men, most men in this world will give the best years of their lives to something that never had any possibility of making them happy. Do you know that? Do you know, men, that only one out of 12 men in America is involved in anything like what you and I are involved in here together this morning? Some kind of a group that is helping a man get in touch with reality. One out of 12. 8 million men, and there are 93 million men in America over the age of 18. Only one out of 12 is involved in anything like you and I take for granted. We take it for granted, don't we? I do. And men, that is why we are here. We are learning how to help men get in the ark before the door is shut. And it's going to be shut someday. What is the preposterous role that God is calling you to play? Can we have prayer together this morning? Lord, I don't know why, but you gave that man the grace to invite me to his home. And you gave me the grace to show up. And you gave me the grace to receive you as my Lord and Savior 25 years ago. And I thank you for it. I thank you for the privilege. I hope I never get over it, that you saved a wretch like me. And I thank you for the fellowship I have with these men, that we work together like heart, mind, and purpose to help men get in the ark before the door is shut. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a good time at your tables this morning.